Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Coach Kirby Smart's Monday Media Conference.
Thank you, Colin. In a week of Thanksgiving, I'd like to recognize and give thanks to Jonas Jennings. He does a tremendous job for us as Director of Player Development, kind of my right-hand man. He does a great job. But today is his annual Thanksgiving Turkey Giveaway Day over in College View Hills in Atlanta, where he grew up. I think he's done it now, Claude was saying 13 years, maybe giving away over 230 turkeys to an impoverished area over in College View, and just appreciate all Jonas does for our program and really for our kids, and for him to give back to that community means a lot. He's done it every year I know that I've been here, and does a tremendous job. With that, leading to Georgia Tech and our guys getting to go play in Atlanta, an opportunity to play and where a lot of our guys, one of our main recruiting areas where a lot of our guys are from. And it's a great atmosphere, and I know our guys will be excited for a rivalry game to play in Atlanta. And it's the next part, it's the next chapter, and what are they going to write about this chapter with each group? And I know our guys will be fired up, ready to go this week.
Coach, kind of a view from 10,000 feet question here. Florida's obviously going to hire a new coach. It'll be their seventh since 2001. I think you're the second at Georgia since 2001. My question is about when you took this job, did the stability at Georgia play a factor in that? And what does it say about the coaching landscape that there is that much turnover in the SEC now?
The opportunity at Georgia came about, and it really wasn't about the stability, you know, or any of that. It was about an opportunity and a place I believe in and a place that I've wanted to be at for a long time. So had a lot more to do with that than maybe the history of who had been here or other places. I think the landscape across college football is what it is. The stakes have gotten higher. The pay has gotten higher. And with that becomes expectations. It's a different landscape now than it was even 4 or 5 years ago in terms of portal, recruiting, number of initials. Everything changes so fast, and so it makes it tougher. And it's a much tougher job. And I think you've seen a lot of people in our level go to the next level because it has a little less strain on your family and things. So I know it's a tough atmosphere, but most people would say they pay you so much it doesn't matter. But at the end of the day, I hate it for Dan because I think Dan's a good person and it's a tough situation. But it's a profession we chose to be in, and I know Dan will be fine. He'll be perfectly fine.
Kind of piggybacking on that question, Kirby, obviously Florida played in the SEC championship game last year. But they had a big dip this year. In terms of this program, the consistent showings year after year that you guys seem to have, what are some of the key factors to that?
You know, I don't know. I think building it on a strong foundation, not on, trying to have a great 1 year, not that I'm saying they did. I don't think it's anything about what they did. I'm not making any comparisons to them. I'm prefacing that with, to build a program, you have to build it on a foundation of strong recruiting, strong people in your organization, retention of staff. Administratively, you got to have tremendous support because you've got to be able to go out and hire all the things you need in recruiting. It's so important to have help. And we got tremendous help here in terms of our staffing. I'm talking about the overall picture from Ron Corson to Jonas Jennings to the recruiting staff that we have here, to the coaching staff, to the support staff, all those roles matter so much. And I think signing good quality high school football players is extremely important to building your program. And you can't have a lot of holes from year to year because, you know, the holes will cost you. If you have one poor class or you have a mass exodus at a position, it can become really tough. So that's where the strains are in being consistent. And we've been fortunate to recruit well, and we've got a good recruiting base around us.
Coach, I was just wondering, after the game last week, so many guys got an opportunity to play. Did, after going back and looking on film, did anybody particularly flash to you when looking at that?
Tough evaluation. I mean, the game was, you know, out of hand pretty early. So I didn't, you know, I thought some young guys got in the game. And the young guys that got in the game, there's nobody that screamed, play me over the guy in front of me, if that's what you're asking. There's guys that screamed, I'm going to be a good player when I figure this out. But there's no astonishing views from watching the tape.
Coach, Xavien Story had an interception on Saturday. What has his development process been like working with the outside and inside linebackers?
He's come a long way. You know, he was here over spring, but he didn't get to practice because of a foot injury. And so he came in a little injured, and that probably hurt his progress early in terms of being able to learn and do things. We played him at outside backer early on. Since we've had two injuries at inside backer, we moved him to inside backer. He's probably better suited to play that position right now in terms of size, speed, strength. He's not big enough to hold up out at outside backer right now, but he has good instincts. He's flashed on the scout team and made some good plays, and I thought he had not necessarily the pick and the turnover. That was a little bit luck, but he had some other good plays where he showed some quickness and some instincts to go strike people. And I think he could be a big help for us, and he's a guy in the last 3 to 4 weeks we've picked up in terms of really getting better and working.
Coach, I just want to ask, what have you kind of seen from Tech so far this season, I guess, on film? And also, just they have obviously struggled a little bit recently. Does this still rivalry have all that juice still, though, knowing that it's Georgia Tech? And do you have to kind of get your guys up and avoid, I guess, the practices you had last week?
No, I don't think our guys will be. It'll be completely different because these kids were all recruited by Tech. They know Tech's players. They know a lot of those guys. That doesn't concern me. Our guys have been very mature and handled things really well. We challenged them after the game the other day to come out and approach this thing with a we'll not be denied attitude. We're going out to go play our best game. That's our goal, play our best game of the season. How do we do that? We usually do it by practicing well. So that would be the goal for us.
Coach, obviously the year has gone well. When you were assessing the team, you and your staff were assessing coming into the season, to get to this point like you have, 11-0, has there been an area that has gone surprisingly well, maybe even that you might have been concerned about? And I guess conversely, is there an area you still feel like to be a championship team, we got to get better here?
Yeah. I mean, all across the board. I'm not going to single any unit out, but obviously we've got to play better in a lot of parts. Nobody has arrived. No group has arrived. I don't look at it as – you know, this area is an area of concern. That's not how, at least I wouldn't vocalize that in here. You know, that's not my way of doing things. I look at it as, how do we get better as a team? How do we get better on special teams? How do we become more explosive offensively? But going back to the off season, I think you're constantly looking to build your roster. Who can impact our roster? Who can we get to upgrade and make us better that possibly is there in the portal, or a freshman or a guy that we can sign? And we had concerns coming into the season at a lot of positions of depth. We don't have as much depth as we've had. But a couple other positions, O-line and D-line, we have more depth than we've had. At receiver and DB, I've said all along, we're much more thin than we've ever been.
Yeah, hey, I wanted to ask you about Brock Bowers leading your team in receptions and touchdowns through the first 11 games of the season. What has allowed him to do that as a freshman?
Staying healthy. You know, we really haven't had anybody else that's been consistently healthy. Look across the board. I mean, I don't know that we have anybody that's played in every single game. I mean, maybe AD. I think AD's been the only guy, and he was a true freshman starting out. Much like Brock, but, you know, they both went through the spring, which helped him. But biggest thing, Brock's consistency. You know, number one, he's not just a role player. He can block. He plays with physical toughness. He's very intelligent. He takes notes. He comes in early, watches his tape. And when you have dependability and talent mixed together, it's usually what you get when you got a guy that's put up those kind of numbers. But, I mean, again, it takes opportunities, and he's been healthy for all the games we played.
Do you remember how you viewed this rivalry as a recruit and then as a Georgia player? And do you have any feel for how today's players view this rivalry compared to your era?
Yeah, I wasn't a big college football fan as a recruit, so it's hard for me how I viewed it. You know, I didn't come to Georgia Tech games. I didn't grow up going to those. I grew up going to high school football games and watching TV on Saturday. So I don't really have – as I got here, there was, you know, an ingrained, built-in belief that you had to beat your in-state rival. But we also had conference rivals. So it just became, you know, you play on something so many times – that it falls on deaf ears sometimes if you say, well, that's our rival, that's our rival, that's our rival. We don't get into that because it really just loses its effectiveness if you use it all the time. So who's not our rival? And that's, you know, we look at it as a chance to grow, and we want to become the best team we can become, and they stand in our way. So we have an opportunity to go play them, and you use game reps to grow and become better. Everything gets heightened in a game rep. So that's what we want to do. We want to go out here and make sure our team is getting better with each and every performance, and we're trying to play that perfect game. But it's not about, you know, the history of the rivalry, because our guys, they weren't even born when I was playing. So our guys have no recollection of that.
Brett Seether was able to get in the end zone and I think lead in reception draws on Saturday. How is his role kind of fit in, especially behind Darnell, John Fitzpatrick, and Brock Bowers?
Brett's done a good job. You know, he's been over, actually came over, worked on the scout team with us more this last week than he has previously. And I've always said that's one of the greatest confidence factors you can get. You go over, you go against a really good defense. He was over against us. I know he made two or three plays on the scout team. He did a really nice job giving us a look of the opponent. And I think that carried over to his confidence in the game. Plus, he got more reps. He got more opportunities.
Coach, not looking for any game plans, but what has impressed you about the Tech team and their three phases?
Yeah, the biggest thing is they got more talent to me. They've stacked some more good players that have come back to the city of Atlanta. When you look across the board, and a lot of kids on that team that went to go play somewhere else that all of us recruited that have come back. You know, they've had some key injuries. They've had injuries, you know, at the quarterback position. It's been in and out, back and forth. But, you know, they always do a good job in the kicking game. Jeff always takes part of that. That's a big part to him that he plays a role in. You can see his influence in terms of the way they play the game, the way they rush kicks, the way they return kicks in all phases. So it's one of those things that, you know, they played a tough schedule as well, and got a lot of respect for how they play.
Kirby, on the one-time transfer exception, this is the first season that's been in place. Obviously, players have gotten waivers before, but this first season has been in place. Haven't gone through it now. What has your view evolved on how much of an impact this is going to have every year now that this is just kind of life in college football?
I think it's too early to tell how it may impact. I think you're always going to have a resource to patch holes. Who patches holes the best? Do we start getting, you know, super teams where all guys want to go to a certain place? It would be my estimation, and I've been wrong before and I'll be wrong again, that the more you rely on those patches and the quick fix, the more trouble you can get yourself in. If you're not building it from the ground up and you're not developing players and you're not keeping your players within your organization, you're going to struggle. But the flip side of that is the better you are in your organization, sometimes the longer it takes a young player to play. And so the more transient, the more quickly they want to leave. So I think the culture within your program is so important that the older players embrace the younger players and grow them up so that they become leaders. Because if you rely on a transfer portal, you know, you're not always going to have the built-in culture and belief of your organization, because guys will be in it for the first time that year.
Kirby, what's your assessment of the star position in terms of it looked like Brenny came out of the game a little early with Poole getting in earlier. Was that just a matter of wanting to see William play more, or what's going on at that spot?
No, we play a lot of guys. I mean, we play Quay, Channing, N'Kobe, they all play. I mean, we play guys up front. Poole's done a good job at practice. He's practiced well, done a good job. We're continuing to develop people all across the board. I mean, I thought we played Kamari, Speed, You know, Dan played more at safety. Bullard played at safety. David Daniel played at safety. So, I mean, Poole does a good job. We got confidence in Poole.
What makes recruiting the Metro Atlanta area so challenging? Not obviously so much for you guys, but just in general.
I don't understand the question. What? It's not challenging.
I guess just with so many teams coming in there and so much talent in there, what is it that makes it sort of different than recruiting some other Metro Atlanta areas? Or not Metro Atlanta, but Metro areas.
I think all Metro areas are get recruited heavily. I think Metro areas get recruited heavily for obvious reasons. You can travel there immediately. So there's a large airport. They attract a lot of people. People come there to recruit them. They probably sometimes get over-recruited. I don't know. You know, you sometimes the metro areas are the kids are fully developed. They played in a big-time program. But I don't look at it as any more challenging in Atlanta than it is in another major city, Houston or wherever.
Going back to the Tennessee game, we saw you put your three inside linebackers on the field at the same time. We've seen you basically have to scheme around not having Adam Anderson. What has been your take on how that has worked out? And what are some of the options that you've implemented without him in the game?
Well, we've always had that. We've had that package always. I mean, we did it against Florida. We did it prior to Florida. We try to get our best football players on the field in terms of speed. We've just done it a little more often now, but we've carried that every year. We did it in the past against Auburn. We did it in the past against other teams. So it's not a role that Channing hasn't played before. He's always kind of had that role. It's been more of a dynamic for us of not being six DBs. So what you're seeing is three linebackers. Well, that used to be two linebackers because we had six DBs. We got five DBs, so we don't have that. We have three inside backers with the five DBs. It just gets really complicated when you think about it. But I know I want to make it simplify for y'all. We're trying to get the 11 best on the field, and Channing gives us an opportunity to do that. But we also have to be cognizant of there's more snaps in the game. So the more the three of them are on the field, is that taking away from the first and second down, which gets you to third down.
Kirby, now that a couple of days since the game, where do things stand with Jamari, Chris Smith, and Nolan Smith as far as this week? What do you expect?
Feel good about all three of them. Hopeful about all three of them. Two of those guys will be back out there practicing. I mean, Nolan practiced all last week. So did Jamari. He just didn't go with the ones. We feel like Jamari will be back. We feel like Nolan will be back. And we're hopeful that Chris will be back. He won't be practicing today, but we think he'll be back.
Kirby, you had a rare opportunity to play four quarterbacks in one game. Did you see enough to have some takeaways to share with us?
Yeah, I thought all four guys did what we asked them to do. We gave, we didn't give Brock as much of a chance as we gave those other guys, because by that time it was, we're running the clock, and we had some linemen that we wanted to get in the game, a couple of walk-on kids that had not played, and it's always important to me that if you're going to put a quarterback out there, you want to give him the best opportunity to be successful of who's in front of him. But I thought those guys did a nice job. I think their understanding of the system is getting better and better with reps. They take, reps each week. Although Brock's are mostly scout team, those other guys get a lot of quality reps, and great opportunity to get out there and grow and get game time experience.
Coach Nakobe was a finalist for the Buckus today, made the cut for that. You were just talking about, Channing and Quay, and your rotation is so heavy at the inside linebacker. What in your mind makes him deserving of that award should it end up coming his way?
Because he's one of the best linebackers in the country. And if the award is based on statistics and number of snaps, shame on the award, because that's not what it's about. It's supposed to go to the best linebacker in the country. And I been very fortunate to coach guys that have won that at multiple places. And he's in that same category of guys, it's tough because, I think Quay and Channing are deserving of it. But what's great about those three guys? They just want to win. And that's what's been special about this team, because as these accolades and awards and finalists have come out, those three guys are not worried about any of it. They're worried about winning a championship. And I think Nakobe would tell you before anybody on our team, it's a whole lot more important how he grows and plays and continues to lead our team than just about that award. But he's one of the most explosive, best blitzing linebackers, smartest that I've seen. And, Quay and Channing both have really good strengths too. They complement each other really well, all three of them.
questions? Kirby, that kind of segues in. You know, the Governor's Cup is inscribed with Sig Vos Non Vobis, which means thus we yet labor, but not for yourselves. Talk about how that team is, your team this year has exemplified that thus far.
Yeah, the focus has been on each other. That was the whole connection piece. And they've kind of had a pact of, you know, that it's not going to be about the individualism. It's going to be about the group. That's always easy to say in the off season. It's harder to live through, especially when you're going through games. And, you know, one guy might have a stellar game than another guy. And I think across the board offensively and defensively, it's been spread pretty evenly considering. I mean, those guys on offense, there's been different backs lead it. There's been different receivers lead it. There's been different quarterbacks lead it. I mean, it's just been kind of a by committee, and defense has been the same way. So I think it just says a lot about the fact that the kids don't care and they don't get caught up in it.
Kirby, I want to ask you what their different quarterbacks, Sims and Yates, bring to the table, and then their running back, Gibbs.
Yeah, Gibbs is playing really well. I mean, he's an explosive player, kick return, touchdown. I mean, they find ways to get him the ball. And when you watch the tape, he looks like he's in a different gear. I mean, really talented player with the way they use him. And obviously, both the quarterbacks, you know, had some injuries and been beat up. But, you know, Sims is a really good thrower, really good athlete. They use both of their legs well to get them out of the pocket and move them around. And, you know, that's been an issue for us in terms of the quarterbacks have been able to add to the run game this year. So I know they'll be looking for ways to do that with whichever quarterback plays.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dogs!